Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about Godzilla.
2014.
Yeah. I like the pause. I like the pause because it's like, oh, wait. Didn't they already do Godzilla?
Oh, yeah, I guess it is just Godzilla.
Yeah, this is our first movie where we have to include a year in the title. So we did it.
I don't know because...
We haven't done a second King Kong.
The first Godzilla...
We only
there's Gojira, and then there's Godzilla King. Was that King of Monsters?
Oh wait, did we call it? Yeah, we did. It was both. It was a double episode. It was like an anniversary show. I guess Godzilla 1985.
Yeah, but the title is in the title. This year is in parentheses.
Uh-huh. And Godzilla 2000 also is in the title. Right. So yeah, this is our first parentheses. Cool. This is a weird movie to talk about.
Yeah.
I didn't take a lot of notes. I've seen this movie a lot.
Yeah, me too. I saw it a lot in theaters. Like, I saw it maybe at least three or four times in theaters.
We saw
I would just find people who hadn't seen it yet, and I was like, oh, let's go. And then they go see it again.
Yeah, we saw it together the first time. The first time I saw it was with you. And I'm pretty sure the first time you saw it was with me because it was like a Friday night. Uh-huh. And it was the IMAX and the 3D. And
yeah.
I don't remember being super... we were excited for it for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think I was as excited when I left the theater. But I don't fully remember because I know one of the big deals with this movie was that they don't really show you Godzilla. Like, all the Godzilla action's backloaded.
A lot of it is shrunk.
So going into it the first time, you're just waiting for Godzilla and you're not getting it. And then every time I watch it, I don't mind as much.
Yeah, I remember getting into it like, I got pretty emotional when his tail lit up for the first time. That was like the part that was like, oh, it's like up to this point in the movie, I was going, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about atomic breath.
Yeah, me too.
I was so sucked in, and I kind of liked how he was so bitey in this one.
Yeah.
Because he would just keep grabbing him and biting him, and I was like, it's so great that they, you know, because he's not a costume, that he could bite, because you feel like trying to bite was so much harder with the big costume head. That it'd be like kind of like open the mouth, put it in there. Okay, now just cut to the close up of doing that. But here you get to see him like kind of he would grab the Mutos and just kind of like pull him in so he could bite him. Yeah. That was pretty rad. And then when the tail lights up, and then you're like, oh yeah. So I mean, we'll get into that last fight later.
I think part of that has to do with like the marketing, because none of the marketing showed fire breath.
No, you just showed roar, I think, is all you got.
And then in the 1998 Godzilla, she didn't have fire breath, and they kind of did a thing where Godzilla breathes really hard and the cars kind of explode towards where he's breathing hard or she's breathing hard.
Hang on, 98, that was the Godzilla that's like about to have a meltdown?
No, that's the Matthew Broderick.
Oh yeah, that Godzilla is just an iguana.
Yeah.
So, an iguana with a big chin.
So you don't like... And then the thing is, this movie, it also set up kind of a more realistic tone. And like every shot is from like a handheld camera. So the cameras are kind of like down in the trenches with the monsters. Yeah. And I feel like fire breath seems like a fantastical element, and so that's another reason you don't like expect it, but when it happens, it might be one of my favorite moments in any Godzilla movie.
It's so perfect.
And
the way it also shocks the people too, because they weren't expecting it either. Everyone's treating him like a giant dinosaur.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, this is just some kind of prehistoric animal that's now come back to life. And then he goes, oh, we didn't know they could do that. Kind of had that quality to it.
And I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we would have missed it, but if they didn't put it in there, I think we would have been like, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Like, I don't know.
I think because this is, because this, you know, you got to remember at this point, this is Godzilla resurfacing in movies in this, first of all, this new nerd movie renaissance,
yeah,
of all these kind of like IPs that you liked as a kid becoming movies that, mm-hmm, I think I would have had a little bit of an issue. I was like, ah, but they didn't do that.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. What's another thing about the marketing is like the Muto didn't exist.
Yeah, well, you saw something flying. That's, I remember seeing like the old trailers being like, is that Rodan? I think that's Rodan.
Yeah, there was like a quick shot of when the Muto comes straight flying down and splashes into the water.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's all we saw, and then it was like, oh, okay, I guess there's definitely something else in the movie. And they even changed shots so that, like, almost every trailer ended with, like, the Elizabeth Olsen character running into the shelter and the doors closing, yeah, behind her.
The doors closing
and you see Godzilla roar. Like, that was, yeah, on every commercial and everything. Right. That shot's not even the same in the movie.
Right.
In the movie, yeah, what's through the doors is,
I thought I missed it.
Yeah, is Muto and Godzilla fighting.
Right.
So the marketing was just like, completely wanted us to think that, you know, I guess Godzilla was the bad guy, right?
Sure.
Because it's like, oh, here's Godzilla and he's going to do destruction. And then, which was a nice surprise when the Muto show up. And I mean, I think at the time I was like, well, why can't it be Rodan or Mothra? But I feel like there's a lot of Mothra and Rodan fans out there. So this movie, well, definitely wants you to root for Godzilla.
Yeah, when I was looking up, when I was scrolling through the trivia on IMDb, I think they said something about how originally the plan was it was going to be King Ghidorah.
Oh, okay.
But then they nixed that idea because King Ghidorah is an outer space monster and they wanted to kind of keep it with the theme of nature having an order, that whole thing about how it's about nature.
Yeah.
And so they wanted it to be more earthly, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah.
If it was King Ghidorah, I don't know if I would root for Godzilla. I mean, I guess I would, but I like the fact that they're kind of, I'm not going to say generic, because they're kind of cool and unique, but they're not established Toho monsters. So I'm kind of glad because it made me full on want to root for Godzilla. And
yeah, I mean, yeah, like you knew right away you didn't like him.
Yeah, yeah, I'm like, who are these guys? Screw them.
Yeah, I know. Who are these bugs?
But the fact that like Godzilla was treated as a hero in the movie.
Yeah, well, the thing is that the Muto looked a lot like, these look like alien beings because they don't look like any.
Yeah,
I mean, you go, okay, they have wings. Yeah, I get wings, and apparently there's a lot of different things that inspired the Mutos. One of the ones that was mentioned was the Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
And you can definitely see that influence.
Yeah, yeah, the mouth.
It's kind of weird the way because it almost seems cause like the way the feet are bent in a way that, or like, it's almost as if the feet are backwards. Like, it's almost like they're on their knuckles each time they touch the ground. Yeah.
They kind of walk like bats, like the way they use their wings,
yeah,
as feet. Or like, yeah, the Cloverfield monster where they're like long, kind of stilty. Like,
yeah.
I think only the female or the male that flies? Only one of them flew. The one holding the eggs is the female, I'm assuming. And the male was,
yeah,
the one
with
the wings.
The male is the one that flies.
Yeah.
He's the smaller one.
Yeah. And like all of that was interesting too, because they don't really have an origin story for these guys, but you kind of learn about the way they live and how they function as a species,
yeah,
as the movie goes on.
Yeah. Just, yeah. It's like, we don't get like the poem about Gamera versus Gauss. We, yeah, get instead the, you know, we just have, they piece together. They kind of come to conclusions kind of quick.
Yeah.
Like when Sally Hawkins is like going, oh, a different sex, perhaps.
Oh,
that whole business.
Yeah.
But okay. First of all, back to the beginning, the opening credits are awesome in this movie.
I love the opening credits.
it creates backstory in a way without having to give it to us. I mean, they ended up giving it to us later in the whole story that Ken Watanabe says about what happened. But it was just kind of cool seeing how it's like the nuclear testing kind of footage and the shots of like the back fins coming up out of the water and all that kind of business. Really cool.
The redacted text.
Yeah, and saying random placements of the word monarch and stuff.
And Alexander Desplat, I don't know how to pronounce it. His score is amazing too. He doesn't use like the traditional Godzilla music, but it's still really good.
Yeah, and also at the end of the credits, there's like a giant bomb that's got like a Godzilla silhouette with like an anti over it.
Yeah, that's good. And it introduces Monarch in this in this sequence too. And then it kind of the credits in Kong Skull Island are kind of similar.
Yes.
So I'm hoping for Godzilla King of the Monsters that they have some sort of cool Monarch opening credits. I think I'm gonna end up watching Skull Island before King of the Monsters. Just to watch it again. I mean, really, I think the only thing that's going to tie in, as far as I know, is the post-title sequence where Brie Larson and Captain Marvel and Loki look at the cave drawings of the Titans. So, but it'll be interesting to see if the next movie has those cool Monarch opening credits, because I think those are great. So this is Gareth Edwards' second movie.
Great.
he followed up Monsters with this, which is, I mean, as far as casting a director, makes sense. And
totally. And there's definitely, after having seen his other movie beforehand, you definitely kind of like see there's certain things that are his strengths, and he definitely can apply those to, you know, a bigger budget monster movie.
Yeah. But it's very similar, where you're following, you know, a set of human characters kind of in the wake of the destruction. But you get a little bit more. There's actually like monster fighting in this, as opposed to Monsters, where the only time you see the monsters come together is for smooching.
For sex, yeah. Yeah, but you get that too.
Yeah, you get that in this too.
He likes his kaiju romantic.
Well, it just makes it interesting. I think he might have been banking on the fact that maybe not a lot of people saw Monsters, and took kind of some of the interesting concepts from that movie and brought them over here.
Sure.
And I saw this before Monsters, so it totally worked on me.
So Ken Watanabe plays Dr. Ishiro Serizawa.
Yeah.
Which is a very on the nose nod to Gojira.
Yeah.
Ishiro Honda and what's the actor's name? It's the eye patch guy from Godzilla.
That's not Serizawa?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just trying to remember.
Oh, the actor's name?
What the full name was.
I don't remember. But what's kind of cool about this is they talk about the testing, I believe, in 1954. Right? So this could still kind of be in that same
universe. In the same world?
As far as like, but I guess Godzilla survived. They weren't able to stop him, like with the oxygen destroyer.
Oh yeah, Daisuke Serizawa is the eye patch guy. So we have this watch, and then later it gets revealed that this is a watch that stopped right at the moment that the bomb was dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that there are watches like that. There's a museum that has stopped watches.
Huh.
It has a stopped watch there that basically that's exactly that all the way to like what it's like 8:15 in the morning.
So it's kind of cool because it references like the atomic bomb as like their as kind of their commentary, their social commentary, I guess. Like, this has to do with like nuclear war, nuclear weapons, and
yeah, the whole, that's the kind of thing that kind of like how it's when they decide that we just gotta have to drop the bomb on this guy's to destroy him, and he's like, that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
And it turns out, you know, he has like a personal stake in it that mm-hmm. kind of gives it a nice poignant moment.
Man. Interesting thing that I thought is at the beginning of the movie, we see a flashback of young Ford and his dad, and he's got a poster in his room that looks like it's a kaiju movie poster.
Yeah.
So kaiju movies exist. And then, yeah, then it really happens. It's like if you have a zombie movie and someone has a zombie poster on the wall, it's like, it's, I don't know. There's something about that that's kind of weird.
Right.
Especially since a lot of people, I guess, are kind of confused about the existence of Godzilla, which, I mean, makes sense regardless, but I don't know. I think that's kind of weird. I couldn't see what the poster was, but I think it might have been just like a nondescript monster movie.
I bet Google knows. There's a lot of Easter eggs. So there's tons of Easter eggs in this movie. Tons of things for people to spot, especially in later viewings. Like the school has a poster that has like a butterfly that looks a lot like Mothra's pattern.
Yeah.
And things like that.
And when they go back into the quarantine zone, there's a tank that says Moth on it, but the sticker was covering up something else.
Oh, right.
And that
part
was torn, and it looks like it says Mothra. The seismic, the computer readout of the seismic readings that they get always reminds me of Devil's Tower every single time I see it. It's like the same shape as Devil's Tower, and they, you know, Bryan Cranston sees that in the flashback, and then you know, brings it up again when he gets into Monarch in Janjira. So I always thought that was a homage to Close Encounters for some reason.
Oh, it looks like it was created for the movie, that poster.
Okay.
So it's a, like, generic, non-specific, but it's there.
Yeah.
Acting-wise, I liked the relationship. I thought the husband and wife and him and the kid, I bought them. I bought them as a relationship. I liked the whole, you know, he has to tell her it's not the end of the world, which is great because we already know what's coming.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Maybe because we all know what's coming, we're just waiting for it to happen. We want it to happen sooner. But like I said, watching it this time, I was all on board with how it plays out, because I marked down that it's 37 minutes in before we see the Muto, which is the first monster we see, which I believe is the male one that flies. He's the one in the
Yeah, it's so funny calling him Muto. The, cause like there's a company I get emails from, and they're always putting out new versions of He-Man merch, and those get sent,
Motu.
And the subject line is always Muto.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking, like, what? I keep thinking it's going to be the Muto.
Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are married. That's weird. It kind of weirds me out a little bit, but
a little bit.
it's not their fault. I like their relationship too. It feels real.
Yeah.
I feel like everything in this movie, like acting wise and just everything about it, feels very, very nicely grounded in reality. And even when we get to the monster stuff, it still has kind of a feeling like, not maybe this is exactly how it would happen, but it's kind of nice to see it. Like
I like one of the things also when they're in that Forbidden Zone area was there's like they'd be like cockroaches on top of toy tanks and stuff like that. And then these kind of little things that. I kind of like. I was like, oh, that's cool. It's kind of
I didn't even notice that.
Think about it. There's a really I think the whole thing they did to reveal David Strathairn, how do you say Strathairn. He was a long time on his back while he was doing this whole speech, and then at the end we come on his face like, oh, and I'm in this movie too. It had a kind of quality. I was like, but really, is it like did he need that? I don't know.
Sorry.
What are you laughing at?
Nothing. Just something he said. He said he spent a long time on his back, and then we come on his face.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that'll be. I'll cut out this part of it where I'm talking about it.
Yeah, but leaving the part that you're laughing at it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I have like I don't really have a lot of notes because, like I said, I've like seen this movie so many times I didn't really.
Right.
My notes go all the way. I'm at the Golden Gate Bridge sequence.
Okay, so, all right, so there's the moment where you kind of then get the whole monarch explanation. Mm-hmm. I liked all that kind of aspect of mythology, that all the bomb testing was them trying to kill something.
Yeah.
And how that was like something we didn't even know about.
Yeah, kind of retconning history.
Yeah, and that back, these are animals that come from a time when there was more radiation. Mm-hmm. And so that was their food source. And so now for them to find the radiation. I liked that shot. I think it might be from Cool Little Ranch, which is when they open the thing and they see that it where like when they're looking about like where like the nuclear waste is put.
Oh, yeah.
And there's that one or they had some where you just see like the whole like. Just like it's all torn up and scarred, like he went it that way. So I'm like oh, how yeah. Which way he went, you could follow like the trail. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, when
there was a new thing that Ken Watanabe did. He said Gojira at the very beginning, mm-hmm. and then started saying Godzilla later on.
Huh.
He kind of like I was like, he just kind of like he gave us like every now and then he would kind of say Godzilla, and sometimes he would say Gojira. He kind of. And kind of do a little bit of both, it almost seems like.
I think I do that on the podcast as well. Like when it comes to when we talk about King Ghidorah, like I usually say Ghidorah, but you say Ghidra, and sometimes I'll say Ghidra, just depending on if I'm talking to you or not, or Angulus. Like I always call him Angulus because he's called that sometime in the movie, but I think you call him Anguirus.
I think I call him Ghidorah. I don't think I say Ghidra. Do I say Ghidra? Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I started saying Ghidorah more often, but. Yeah, I just go back and forth. Yeah, I guess kinda, I do.
Yeah. Which is fine. That was probably like, I don't know, maybe a bit of fan service at the beginning, and then the rest of the one, they're like, hey, you got to say the movie's called Godzilla. But who knows?
Yeah, maybe, or...
But his kind of relationship with Godzilla is awesome.
I love it, too. He's kind of... There's also, like, the sense of, like, the... The people, I like when these movies have, like, the kind of people who've been studying these kind of things forever and then finally get an opportunity to experience or witness them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the way Jurassic Park has it, you know, when they first reveal it. Mm-hmm. Or in Harry and the Hendersons when, like, the guy finally meets Harry. Yeah. All that stuff. Even, did you see that recent Predator movie?
No.
Oh, there's a part where like they bring in because Olivia Munn is like an expert in, alien life forms or something, and then she like sees this thing. She's like, "Is that what I think it is?" It has this kind of like that kind of moment.
That's great.
I do dig that a lot.
Yeah. You're spoiler free on the sequel, correct?
Yeah. I mean,
but you did.
I've been avoiding as much as I can. I saw that the trailer that was like the classical music. Dun, 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 that one.
That was the Comic-Con one. That was almost like a year ago.
Yeah, I've seen. I came across a commercial came on TV and I caught a glimpse of Rodan.
Okay,
but that's it.
Okay, because
you warned me that when like the big oil pump show up, that's the Godzilla trailer.
Yeah, I sent you a screenshot of the opening.
Yeah, like when you shot see of this the trailer. Stuck in the cover.
Yeah, because it's a spoiler. But I don't know if he's in the first one, but I don't know if this is spoiling it for you, but he does return. Ken Watanabe.
Oh, awesome!
So yeah, I'm excited because I was afraid that the sequel was going to be just like didn't have anything to do with this one, but it seems like yeah.
It's cool. Like, yeah, I definitely got excited with all those like wall paintings in at the end of Skull Island. Or
yeah, and then you hear the Godzilla roar.
Yeah,
but that was cool. But remember that was they had at the end credits before that's the post credit sequence. It said like Godzilla, Rodan, and King Ghidorah are, you know,
oh yeah, are, on loan from properties. Toho, or, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, what? I must have missed that. And then it was like, shit.
I like the whole.
I think I tried to warn you about that too.
What'd you say?
I think I tried to warn you about that too because I saw Skull Island like a week before. And I was trying, maybe I didn't warn you. I think I, yeah.
I remember us talking about it. I don't remember if I knew it from before or not. Or I do, you mean warn me not to look at the last part of the credits?
Yeah.
I did, I mean, it didn't work because I saw it.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
Yeah, it's
fine. I mean, it only spoils you for the like few seconds before seconds. You see the, yeah.
Yeah.
Nature has an order. A power to restore balance. I believe he is that power. I liked also like so the idea is like the Mutos killed Godzillas back in the day, and now this is finally millions of years later he gets to have his revenge.
Yeah, it's almost like a spiritual experience for him, like but he's very scientific, but the way he talks about Godzilla is very like theatrical and you know like big. That moment where he says, you know, instead of going after the, instead of, you know, using this bomb, just let him fight. And it's like, that's the best part.
Best. Also, it's like, I feel like, come on, let him fight. Let's see some buildings get destroyed.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And he's kind of speaking for the audience. And it's almost like that moment in a movie where it says, okay, put on your 3D glasses. It's that moment where you're like, okay, here we go. He said, let them fight. And now I'm ready to get this going. So,
yeah. That's like, he's like the fan service guy.
Yeah.
He's like, let them fight. He turns to us and he winks. It's like, yeah, that's what we want.
Yeah.
Let them fight. And let's see it on something that's not someone's TV in a scene.
Yeah.
By the way, I do believe this is our third movie in a row with white goopy goo. Stuff.
It's on someone's it's like, hand, oh, right? Man,
are these Mutos going to challenge the world?
Oh man, that's crazy! How does that happen?
I don't know. That's really weird. And the fact that it's this one, I'm really hoping that we're going to get some white goop in the next one.
Maybe.
Although, I mean, I don't think those creatures come back in any way?
I don't know.
Or are they gone?
The only ones I know about are
the ones. I think they go posters. Classic in the next one, as far as I know.
But I mean, there is a Mothra larva in the trailer. In the trailer you saw, so we'll see. I'm sure it's silk, but I don't know.
So the Mutos eat bombs to get their radiation sustenance.
I thought you were going to say to get their rocks off. they start hugging on that thing. When one's holding it and he's like sticking it under the eggs
to each other.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's that gets intimate.
Kissing each other's noses. And
that rail system going through Waikiki does not yet exist.
Is it being built?
There's been a plan for a rail system that I don't even know what the status is now. It's kind of like
destroyed.
I think it's frozen in progress. That was supposed to connect parts of the island, and I don't know if that was part of their idea of creating it because there was supposed to be something or not. But yeah, that was a cool reveal.
how the lights go down, and when the lights come back up,
oh,
is when you catch a glimpse of the Muto on top of the over the rails there.
That part gives me chills, because that's the whole, finally we have the Muto, which we've seen already, and they're about to destroy something, and we know Godzilla is swimming to the surface, and we haven't, we've seen like bits and pieces of like the shoulder and the, and like kind of the neck and stuff, and a bit of the tail, but then you see that Muto take out the helicopter or something, and it crashes into a plane that crashes into another plane. It's this chain reaction, and then it stops on the classic like Godzilla versus Bambi foot come into frame.
Yeah. I also loved, because like this was, this movie came out before I moved back to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And so watching it again, and I can see specifically, I know specifically what streets are getting flooded by this giant tidal wave.
Yeah. The dog makes it, I think.
Yeah, he runs away. You don't see how he breaks free, but I guess it's just adrenaline that does it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first reveal is great. It's like, it's just like, you see like the body, you see like the hands, you see the tail.
And then the yell, the roar. It's so like perfect.
The guy is like under the plane, and this rush of water goes by him.
Oh yeah,
I keep being like, that's just everybody peeing themselves. and then the nubby feet.
Yeah, which I'm,
yeah, that fine is funny
with.
The way you say, because specifically the Godzilla and Bambi versus Godzilla kind of has nubby feet like that.
Yeah,
like more than like the Toho Godzillas.
Yeah. And even in like Godzilla GMK, where it looks like he's wearing like Godzilla feet slippers, where they're like big, huge toes with big nails.
I like Godzilla. I like his face. He's like, he looks mean, but kind of like smiley.
Mm-hmm. It's like the best of both worlds. it's like the classic 54 Godzilla mixed with like the 70s Godzilla.
Yeah.
Like the design I really like. I think this is a good design for Godzilla. I'm clearly like much better than the iguana one from 98.
There's like, I think one of the I think Komodo Dragon was one of the influences on it. The I wrote all the action you want to see is on the TV.
Yeah. And it's kind of, the TV version kind of looks like it's shot like a traditional Godzilla movie. Where it's like a wide shot with each monster on either side.
Yeah.
And it almost reminds me of the...
Oh, it's helicopter footage. It's like that moving helicopter footage.
But it reminded me of the King Kong versus Godzilla part where there were like two puppets fighting.
Yeah, like, behind the mountain.
Yeah, yeah. There's something about it that reminded me of that. Like it was really kind of frenetic and fast and crazy. And yeah, we don't get to see what happened in that fight.
Yeah, I started getting the feeling that this guy was like a jinx, because it's like everywhere he went, there'd be Mutos or Godzilla showing up.
Yeah,
he couldn't get away from any of that stuff.
No, the Golden Gate Bridge sequence is probably, I think it's my favorite sequence in the movie, and it's just one of my just favorite Godzilla things ever. That whole sequence where the Muto are in, they've already attacked with the EMPs and everything's knocked out.
Yeah.
And they're in their sex cloud doing their thing.
Speaking of, when they reveal the female Muto, there's a shot and there's a shot of like her butt as she's walking away. And it's all like a gratuitous Muto badonkadonk to be like, this is the girl one.
I didn't notice the butt.
I like that. The whole sequence on the bridge is great. And the way you see where Godzilla's like trying to, he's like swimming under the big ships at first.
Yeah, it's so good. And all of the swimming stuff.
You can
great.
See he doesn't want to have to deal with the people. He's got his own thing to do until they shoot him. Yeah. And then he gets a little fucked up and he's like,
But then they start shooting at him and missing him completely. And it's like the missiles are like heading right towards the bus, and Godzilla gets up and blocks and saves all the people. Yeah. So like reinforcing that he's like the good guy. But that shot from inside the bus where the kids are screaming and you're looking through the windows and you just see Godzilla grab the tension wires and stuff. And then just he keeps getting shot and he's like, okay, fuck it. I'm just going to walk through the Golden Gate Bridge.
He's
like, I was going to swim under it, but I had to save these kids. And now I'm just going to go through it. Cause you guys,
save yourselves.
And with the airplanes flying out of the sky and stuff. Oh, it's so good. Like when they're just like fall, they're just dropping.
I did like the shot of another TV shot is in the casino and it says like terror in Las Vegas and everyone's oblivious to it until the power goes out.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could see the Muto just like stomping on buildings.
Oh, the Hiroshima Peace Memorial Museum has the stopped watch, by the way. I just came across that note.
Yeah. That's an interesting, it's like a character thing, but it also like reminds people about EMPs and stuff, which is like the Muto's main sort of defense mechanism.
Another thing about his hands I like is he's got like the way the scales on his fingers are. Mm-hmm. It kind of it looks like, you know, like when you look at like old suits of armor where the glove has like little parts that kind of bend so you like can close your hand.
Like a Spanish tiled roof.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah. I like the Muto, the way they sound. The creaky, they sound like creaky trees or something.
Yeah.
The sort of clacking sound. They're interesting. I like them. It would be interesting to see a Toho version of them. Like man in the suit style. Like if they could do it like the Lance Striders from the Dark Crystal. Where it's like a performer stilts. On stilts. That'd be kind of neat. But I think Toho's past puppets.
No, Toho would do it like a spider puppet.
Ooh, that'd be good too.
I think they'd probably do it like one of those marionettes.
Yeah.
All the babies in the big cocoon thing.
Oh, uh-huh.
That was pretty cool. That felt very like Alien.
Oh, and then when they get destroyed, you know, like all bets are off. Like, that's when the Muto are pissed.
Oh, and they kind of figure out which human did it in a way. Yeah. It's like, I liked when Godzilla is beating on, I think it's the mom, and then the dad Muto comes and he grabs him away by fish hooking him in his mouth.
Yeah.
He shucks in his mouth and grabs him away.
There's that one shot where the male is flying and he does that big, long, circular sweep around the city. It looked like straight out of like an old Godzilla movie where they would, you know, stick these guys on you know, piano wire and swing them around the set. And then
the Mutos when they double team on Godzilla was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then when the guy like opens the thing so the gasoline starts pouring everywhere when he's about to let the babies get caught on fire. There's like a shot of like a Chinese dragon under the gasoline that's filling up, kind of like that's because we're in Chinatown and it's just kind of like this kind of decorative thing, but it kind of showing the dragon is cool.
Yeah, it reminded me of Magic Serpent.
Yeah,
Drago.
Man. And then the Mutos get so upset about the babies.
Oh,
like they shriek and weep and they like it's so emotional.
Because up until this point, they really didn't care about Godzilla too much. I don't know how the first fight ended at the airport, but it seems like their only goal is let's get to the other one and fertilize these eggs.
Yeah.
But now that the eggs are gone, they have nothing to do but fight
just,
Godzilla.
Now they're just pissed. Yeah.
And they pretty much get the upper hand. Like it looks pretty bad for Godzilla, but he is able to get the he does start up his fire breath.
Yeah, and there's a lot that he just and then there's also that moment when Godzilla does the tail whip that kills the male.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like he just kind of like waits for it. You see him kind of like he knows it's his, like, he's like, this is like one of my big moves.
I know he's going to throw a hanging curveball right now. Here it comes. Oh, and then he gets it. It impales his head on like the corner of that building. So cool. Like, it's like, oh yeah, that dude's done. And the so I was wondering, like, so that carcass is just like sitting there hanging from that building. Like,
yeah.
Like the next day, do you like send someone up there to knock it down? What do you do with the body? Is it taken? Like, where do you take that? What do you do with it? You can't just sit there, right?
It's got to smell. It's got to be something that they'd want to take to at least study maybe at some point. I'm guessing he's just going to have to helicopter it over to
like Area 51 or something.
Natural like History Museum out. Or something.
Yeah.
And then the kiss of death when he kills the other one is just amazing.
Yeah. There's a moment where Godzilla kind of is like passed out at the same time as Ford. And they're just kind of looking at each other.
Oh yeah,
I like that a lot. It was
I love that Godzilla got so exhausted.
And even after his rest, when he gets up, he still looks like really tired. He's like, oh, just give me in the ocean.
I'm out of here.
Because Godzilla has gills. Like if you look, he has gills. Yeah, so you could tell he just wants to get back into the sea, which is, you know.
Yeah, they're saying that's what messed him up is when they shot him on the bridge. They actually shot his gills.
Ah, I didn't notice.
And so that's particularly painful, or, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he just kind of like flops into the ocean and works his way out. Yeah. Oh, also, the other Jaws reference that I saw when I was looking it up is that the character is called Brody.
Oh, yeah.
Being, you know, a reference to Chief Brody in Jaws.
Okay.
No stingers in this movie.
No.
By the way, I'm at the end credits already.
Yeah.
You get so used to them being in all these kind of movies.
Yeah. Even in Godzilla movies. Like, even, I mean, we're watching one from the, you know, the 90s and stuff that had that post-credit where you'd see Godzilla's heartbeat, or you would see, like, I feel like the end credit of this one would have, like, you'd be down inside the sewers of Chinatown, and there would be like a Muto egg. You know, that would be the post credits.
Oh sure. What do you like better? Do you like the kiss of death from this movie, or Kong ripping the inside out of the skull crawler?
I think this, because it's so much more of an event.
It's so, and also just the way like he decapitates it, like, through breathing fire down its neck.
Yeah. And you could see the tongue then just hanging out like, the neck hole.
Then just kind of, like, drops the head. Like, victory roar, drop head.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this one more.
So cool. It's such a great blue.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed it. And
yeah, I still like it a lot.
I'm looking forward to King of the Monsters, because I didn't, the way the first trailer was set up, I didn't know if they were calling it a sequel or if it tied too much into this one, because I know that Ford Brody isn't in it, and or I don't think he is, I don't know, could be, but he wasn't in the trailer. But it seems like one of the more recent trailers has the other three, the Sally Hawkins and David Strathairn.
Oh yes.
So,
cool.
So I'm like, I'm glad it's so much in his
reveal.
Yeah. So that's cool. I'm excited. I've seen the trailers. I know a little bit more than you do. They released a trailer recently, in the last couple weeks. And it shows a little bit more fighting. There are no more monster reveals, but there are some things that lead me to believe there's more monsters than just the ones we've seen in the posters.
Oh, really?
I think so. I don't know.
As far as I've seen, I mean,
everything centered around
four, right? Godzilla, yeah. King, Ghidorah, Rodan, and Mothra. That's correct. All I know so far.
Yeah. That's all I've seen. There's a couple of quick shots in some of the trailers where you're like, I don't know who that is.
Oh, really?
Like, you'll just see a bit of something. And it could be like a close-up of someone's skin, you know, like I don't know if that's like a Mothra larva. I don't know if that's a, you know, but there's, I can't. The last trailer, there's something said in it that leads me to believe we're getting more than the four.
Wow.
I have no idea. But the four, I mean,
anyone with fur? Awesome.
What, King Caesar? No. Dude, if King Caesar was in it, I would probably be like, okay, screw your spoiler-free stuff.
King Caesar.
I don't know.
Or if Jet Jaguar was in it.
I don't know. There's, yeah. I mean, we're, as of the,
I could see Angers being in it.
We have 2 weeks. Well,
2 weeks.
Not from the time of recording, but the time of the episode. This right now.
From the time you listening to this.
Yeah. Which Godzilla King of the Monsters will be our next episode. Just so everyone knows, we are covering it. We're not treating it as a bonus episode. It is going to be part of our regular episodes. So it'll come out in two Mondays.
We're hoping to time it just perfectly.
So here's the deal. I wanted this to be out there just in case. So you guys know we record these ahead of time, bank them, and then release them every other Monday. We've never once missed a 5 a.m. Deadline. Every other Monday for the last 2.5 years, we've made our deadline every single time. We have.
So we're due.
Well, no, here's the thing. I'm just letting everyone know. We have 3 days to watch, and record, edit, and post it to the feed.
And most of that's Ralph's work.
Yeah, so I'm saying maybe it shows up at 9 in the morning instead of 5 a.m. But I think we're going to be able to do it. We're excited to see it, and I know we're going to be excited to talk about it.
Yeah.
And then my new schedule, I have weekends off, so there should be no excuse on my end to get this done and up on our normal scheduled day. So if you're going to go see Godzilla King of the Monsters, we're going to have a spoiler-filled review like 3 days later. So you're going to want to watch it when it comes out.
See it in the weekend.
Yeah,
let them make a lot of money that first weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a high bar set.
Yeah, I mean, we're already getting Godzilla versus King Kong, which is nice to know.
Yeah.
But we still want this one to do better so we can eventually get to like Final King Wars. Caesar. King Caesar and Jaguar. And the modern day Manda. Manda, right? Yeah, Manda. The serpent. Okay.
Yeah, I know Manda.
No, I don't know. I'm asking, Manda's the serpent, right?
Yes.
Okay. Camacris is the mantis.
Mm-hmm.
That's stupid. Why is it Manda the mantis and Camacris the serpent? I don't know. And then
I don't even remember what the giant
Kamunga. Spiders, Kamunga.
Oh yeah, Kamunga.
Kamunga.
Right. Kamunga, you want to be an ape.
I don't know. I'm excited about this. So wait, should we do some, do you want to do some speculating?
Okay. Well, like,
because I mean, well, we know King Kong or Godzilla versus King Kong is coming next summer.
Yeah.
And it's been pushed up. So it's actually going to be sooner in the year. I think it's going to be in April.
Oh, really?
I think so. So we'll have to start scheduling that. But do you think the post credit sequence is just King Kong? Does that seem kind of
interesting?
Does it seem kind of boring?
Like, you think that we would reveal King Kong?
Like, that's the post credits because we already know that we're getting King Kong next. Yeah, because I think
what would be really interesting about that would be because this would be King Kong in modern day after we'd seen him in a period piece, right?
Yeah, and he supposedly was a
get bigger and older, so it'd be kind of cool if he had like, yeah, he was like a little more silver, or yeah, that would be rad.
Like if he gets off the island, we just see him swimming.
I mean, yeah, it's what it is. It's like that scene in Apocalypse Now. It's just like the water, and like he just kind of like rises out of the water, and just like after like, his nose.
Like in like a like the East River or something. Like
it's a shot of Godzilla in the distance, and then you see like the back of some head start popping up. Cut to the front of the head.
That'd be great.
He's just like dripping.
Yeah, because I feel like with the next movie, since we know what the next movie is, it's going to be obvious that that'll be the post credits. But maybe it'll be something cool.
I guess they should. I guess it'd be a waste not to do that.
Oh man, yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait. Yeah, that's on.
Do you think they try to fit a King Kong somewhere? Like, I could do it later. I guess I don't know.
What do you mean, like
King Kong, New York, Empire State Building, King Kong? Think there's any desire to do that?
I don't know. It would be
because
cool if
King Kong is nothing like the Peter Jackson King Kong. Yeah. This is definitely a new reboot King Kong.
Yeah, but they could set the movie in New York. That'd be kind of fun, right? Because Godzilla,
King Kong, Godzilla in New York. Yeah,
Godzilla took place in San Francisco. I don't know what King of the Monsters is set. Oh, I do know where it is. I know where at least one of the settings is.
Is Tokyo one of the settings?
I don't know. I know one of the settings is Boston.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because there's it's not a spoiler. And I think I was one of the people to point it out when the trailer came out. Is that King Ghidorah lands on Fenway Park on the Green Monster, which is the wall out in left field. It's called the Green Monster.
Oh, so that's like a nod you see that we did here?
Yeah. And it's
the yellow monster landed on the green monster.
Yeah, and it's Boston.
Okay.
So I don't know how much of it takes place in Boston, but maybe by the end of the movie they end up in New York, and then you get your Apocalypse Now shot. Which would be cool because of the IMAX poster for Skull Island look like Apocalypse Now. Yeah. Oh man, that might be good. If it's not that, I'm fine with it, but
yeah, I mean I guess there's a good chance that they try to make it take place in America. I do like in the old movie how like they're like across from each other at this giant like pagoda style building.
And we'll see. I'm excited. I can't wait. People at home are not going to be able to watch that movie on kaijupod.com.
But you'll be able to watch it almost everywhere else you can drive to.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. We're going to have to figure it out, too.
Oh, yeah. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, because I have Fridays off.
Okay.
We'll have to figure it out.
We'll find a place so we can go do that and go right into it.
Yeah, if we do that, I'll be sure to get this episode up on time.
Yeah, probably use like a free form and something that we could kind of like the way we did with Shin, where like I had to do so much from like memory.
Yeah.
To be like, all right, at some point, maybe we revisit. Who knows? Maybe. But I think we'll just be amped up about it so much.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I want to say like our Skull Island episode was like one of the easiest to edit because we were just
excited.
Amped up. Like, and I think maybe you took notes.
Yeah, but I was able to go see it twice. Yeah. Basically, it's like I'd go see it, and then like as soon as I got in the car, I'd be like reciting things into my phone, things I've tried to remember as much as I could.
Yeah.
All out of context. All out of sequence.
Oh, we're almost there. We're almost there. I'm excited. I can't wait. Cool. So that'll be our next episode. Go to kaijupod.com and look at our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter and YouTube. Like I said, more of the movie, but that's all I have. You have anything, any last minute things to talk about our next episode?
No. Okay. See you in 2 weeks.
Cool. All right. Until that time. Until then. I'm gonna go. Shit.
You gonna go shit?
You think this would? You think this would be easy?
You're gonna go shit.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go wipe some white goo off the submarine.
Oh boy, I'm gonna go. Oh, I'm gonna go see where those dogs ran off to in the quarantine zone.
What's long, hard, wet, and in the jungle? That submarine. Remember that joke? What's long, hard, wet, and full of semen? A submarine. You remember that one?
I probably did, but I don't think I kept it. I think I stayed in my brain.
I think I heard it like when I was in like fourth grade and didn't get it. All right, that's plenty of that.